and hear me with Le Réveil, the Awakening en Français.
Each week, take a musical journey through the world of the harp with Harpistry, Sunday at midnight and Monday at noon, right here on KRVS.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Weather for the listening area. Sunny this afternoon with a high of 89, northeast winds at 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies this evening with a low of 71. And on Friday, another mostly sunny day with a high of 92. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 85 here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Later on this hour, we'll be joining Daryl Bork with his From the Poets Bookshelf segment. Judith Merriweather will be here as well with a rundown of the events calendar. And then at 4 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. Music begins with a performance by the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra under the direction of Gerard Schwartz. This is a performance of Symphony No. 50, Mount St. Helens, Opus 360, by Alan Hovhaness.
Thank you. Thank you.
this Thursday afternoon when KRVS presents From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bourque, reading works by writers from or inspired by Louisiana.
Today's first poem from Improbable Worlds, an anthology of Texas and Louisiana poets, edited by Martha Surpass, is a poem called Impossible Cases by James Nolan. James Nolan is a New Orleans native and lives in the French Quarter. His most recent book, the novel Higher Ground, won a William Faulkner Wisdom Gold Medal and is published by University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press. James Nolan's Impossible Cases. Anonymous as the skull white altar, as the separate votive tongues pulsing a fugue in unison in the darkness, as hands clasped together next to mine, as sin, or whatever they call this whiff of mortality, like meat starting to go bad. Anonymous as prayers I stumble through, prompted by the lady next to me who doesn't know why I'm here, and I know better about her, but we're related because death, anonymous as dirt, gets all over everything, and because I am I and another unnamed animal dying, I come to you, St. Jude, stop to search for a crack in the rock where your anchor catches, but am not entirely taken in. See the seams of this holy show. Wheezing, a sexton stacks crates of dollar candles. A mother shushes her shrill child, hoisting him to the plaster hem, then hurrying out. Which he'll forget if he's lucky. Or will it all come back in 50 years in a grim hotel room, God knows where, the bearded saint afloat a sea of candles. Already, anonymously, he has joined us kneeling. His quarters rock in the offering box as the anchor drops. And the second poem from Improbable Worlds, an anthology of Texas and Louisiana poets, edited by Martha Surpass, is a poem by Allison Pellegrin. Allison Pellegrin is a winner of the Akron Prize, among other awards, and she lives in Mandeville and teaches at Southeastern Louisiana University. Allison Pellegrin's poem, Praying with Strangers. Wish I could be funny again like the old me. Wild child with food and music on the mind, because I'm worn out with bringing nothing but needs to the hands of the Lord. Beginning that day, I packed the kids in the car for a head start against the hurricane. 5 hours north to the nearest hotel room, tears the whole way, like we knew what was coming, like we were going to be the ones prying apart the automatic doors of the Winn-Dixie to float out unfrozen, frozen food. O refugees, O my stranded sisters and brothers, we never looked away from the television set, our campfire. We ate until the money ran out, then choked down charity. Peanut butter, peanut butter, peanut butter, bread. I swam in the hotel pool, drawling reminiscences in the company of peers, anything to keep my head above water in the Bible Belt, where they don't sell beer on Sundays. Belly aching, praying with strangers, it became my life's work. Didn't want the job, but there I was, scratching out words, taking notes, while my children, their foot soles filthy black, played rescue helicopter with their army people on the rooftop of an unmade bed. ¶¶
Join KRVS each Thursday afternoon for From the Poet's Bookshelf with Louisiana poet Darryl Bourque. And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are three young dancers, Crystal Redding, Ginny Hillenbrand, and Emily Smith, all graduates of Alfred University in New York, and they are on a world tour right now with their Six and Four Articulations project. They are friends of another young artist here in Lafayette, Emmy Morgan, who's been on our program a number of times, who also graduated from Alfred and is part of Creative Action, which is a group in Lafayette working very hard to improve the environment for artists. And so you all have come down here to share your art with us in the Lafayette area. Tell us just a bit about how you started this project. Now, none of you are actual dance majors. Two of you are in visual arts, and I guess, Crystal, you were in theater, maybe with a dance minor.
Yep.
And so how did you start dancing together? How did you find each other? I mean, it's not a large university, but still.
Right. Well, actually, me and Emily have a dance background. She did gymnastics, and I've been dancing since I was two. So we all met up, six of us met up in Alfred, and we took a number of dance classes or not, and or we were all in each other's works within. They have formal shows there, so we've all worked with each other, and we all just pretty much have a passion to like make work and tour, and we made the work before we got on tour and just taught it to everyone. So Emily, you can.
So you all had a passion for physical movement before, and even if you didn't study it formally, that was a great interest of yours. So when did you first start creating things together? Your freshman year, sophomore year, when did you first start working together?
For me, Emily and Laura, they were not very close to me originally, but my sophomore year, Laura, who isn't here in the studio right now, came up to me and she had written a letter for me to be in a piece that Laura and Emily had created. And I was really excited about it because they said that we would be wearing costumes connected to somebody else and that there would be six dancers and three partners. So that immediately broke down the barrier of what I considered
dance.
Was dance, mm-hmm. And I had never been in a dance before, and so I felt like it was an inviting invitation.
It sounded like a piece of moving sculpture in a way.
Yeah. And being a visual artist, I was like, I guess I could do this.
Absolutely.
This was really exciting.
So there are six dancers. There are three of you here today. Maybe you've said the first names of a couple of the other dancers. Who are the other three dancers in your group?
The other three are Laura Smith, Will Head, and Avery Searig. They also have their unique voices in the group. I would say Laura is one of the co-founders, and she has a background in gymnastics, and she went to school for visual arts, but now she's working on combining those two fields into a kind of final product. Will Head, interestingly enough, is a break dancer. And Laura also found him like doing breakdancing in the hallway of the art studio and kind of like joined
gotta have
in.
Him.
Yeah, she was interested, you know, what he was doing. And they kind of started making duets together because she being the gymnast, him the breakdancer, it made sense. And it kind of took on this, she brought a conceptual element to it, which he got excited about. And Avery actually graduated 2 years before us, but we also. Where we took contact improvisation with Avery, and she recruited us for some of her movement works that she was making in her time at school. So
Well, how did the name Six and Four Articulations come up? There's always six dancers.
But 4 limbs each. And now that's how we communicate. So.
Right. 4 articulations. Okay, I understand that. Well, it sounds like from everything I know that Alfred is a real creative incubator, that there's a lot of collaboration that goes on between the different artistic fields there. And it really sounds that way, and that's how it happened to you all. So how did you begin shaping your vision and your mission for this particular group?
I think the collaboration was a huge part of it, and that did come from going through Alfred's curriculum and being part of both schools, the dance program, which is actually part of the liberal arts school, interestingly enough, and then the art school, the art and design school. And we wanted everyone to bring their own voice to the table because that made the work interesting and exciting to us. And it kind of brought a redefinition of traditional dance. Don't get me wrong, I can be a traditionalist and it's beautiful, but it was interesting to do like kind of a research project with these different specialties people had and different ways of seeing things. And they kind of brought that into the work, and that was how the choreography started. So each of us are choreographers, and we each separately, all of us, choreographed a piece and then brought it to the group, and we kind of became part of the piece. And they, so each of us took an initiative, and then we kind of brought our own stuff in.
Yep, and I think the Smith sisters also, like, they just sat down probably a year before we graduated and just like, okay, what are we going to do after? And they wanted to travel, and we, all of us, of course, want to travel to the U.S., and, you know, we still want to perform, so...
That was one way of combining all those interests. Yeah. So the Smith and the other Smith is your sister.
Yes.
I want to tell people who are listening right now that you have an opportunity to see these young dancers. They're on their tour around the United States, and they're in Lafayette to perform. They'll be performing tonight at 7:30 in downtown Lafayette at the Ballet Academy, which is in downtown, kind of near the fountain, I think, Sanssouci Park, the fountain there. So you can see them. There's a donation involved, but you don't need to purchase tickets ahead of time. And you can see kind of what we've been talking about. And as you get more interested, as they describe some of their pieces, you have an opportunity. Now, I know that you all gave a class earlier today. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
Well, we had students that were in a classical ballet class, and also there was an open call to an adult class that was also a ballet class. Mm-hmm. And so those students came, and we taught them contact improvisation, which is basically the physics between two people and the way that they can move and communicate and do weight exchange, lift each other in a very safe way, and sometimes risky. Also, I think the major thing is the classical ballet students felt a real freedom where at one point we had partnering where one person closed their eyes and the other person moved them around. And so they had a sense what the person who was moving them wanted them to do. But that interpretation is very open, and so I think they felt a real freedom that they may experience in different ways with classical ballet, but they didn't have to make decisions, and they didn't have to do maybe what the choreographer wanted because it was this communication between two people. And so I thought that all the students were really gung-ho, and they made some very beautiful movement today, and it was really exciting.
Well, they might have to start a modern ballet component to their studies.
Yeah.
Once y'all have left, they'll be clamoring for that. So you had that class earlier today, and you're getting ready for the performance tonight. So let's talk about some of these individual pieces that you all came up with. You were describing how each one of you is a choreographer, and you've come up with your own ideas. So are the pieces that you're... do you perform the same pieces each night, or do you have a larger body that you kind of cycle through?
We have a short lineup and a long lineup, and three choreographers have two pieces themselves, and then basically everyone has their own piece. So in our short lineup, everyone gets a chance to perform their work. In a long lineup, it's like nine pieces, and we all get to perform back to back.
Which one are y'all going to do tonight?
Tonight we're doing the long lineup, I believe, so that will be 9 pieces with a short intermission in the middle for the audience, not us.
So 9 very original, unique, different, creative pieces, very different. Well, let's talk to each one of you about the pieces that you've done, and maybe you've done 2, but if you could just describe one of them and how that came about.
Sure, sure.
Start off, Crystal.
I choreographed a piece for Afro University's Women's Leadership Center annual program about body image. So my pieces are pretty much really intimate and detail-oriented with movement, and I love partnering, and I think that's it.
The title of your piece?
It's entitled Figure In Out 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really body awareness. It's just basically solely about body image. So,
well, kind of to describe on the air for those of us who aren't really familiar with contemporary dance that way, what would characterize it? Are there unique costumes, like connecting people? Or what?
Mine is not specifically. So contemporary dance, you normally start off with a theme, or maybe not, and you work or you choreograph through a process. So I don't, from the start, know what I'm going to be doing. Or like I might have a structure, like you start with structure and you start with movement, or you start with, you know, an object or something, and then you matriculate it out and see where it takes you, and then music, and then props, and a whole bunch of other necessities come in play, or you have it in silence. So it's really open, and it's really, to me, intimate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And does your piece have music?
It does, but it's pretty natural, and I could go without it, so we'll see.
Sounds like a very open process.
Yeah.
And does it change from performance to performance at all, or does it keep its structure?
My piece is, there is a part where it is improvised at the end. So, yeah, that's contact improvisation by the end. So, and we have plenty of other pieces where it's might be choreographed and might be, or choreographed or improv'd, gosh, can't pronounce that word.
And I'm sure there's some people wondering, and as we describe, some people may head to their computers, is there a place where people can see some of these pieces? A website? Or?
Yes, we have both a Tumblr and a website. And our website is cargocollective.com/6and4tour. Mm-hmm. And our Tumblr is www.6and4tour.tumblr.com. So it's pretty straightforward. And if you just Google 6and4tour, you'll get both those sites.
Okay. We'll remind people at the end of the interview as well. But just some of your descriptions are going to sound very interesting, and they may want to head there and see some of these movements themselves if they're not that familiar, or if they are, they really want to see them. So, Jenny, what is your piece?
If I could describe one of the pieces that I have, you would see bits of humor, some characterization, informal movement, and I guess, at least with one of the pieces, it's called Nothing Happens. It was inspired by living in a small town, and I've been very interested in repetitive movement and also the mundane daily grind we go through as people. And so I took each performer and then I focused on their daily activities, and then I made them repeat it and repeat it and repeat it with no object present. And I'm just really interested in that repetition and almost meditative control that we go through. But I'm also interested in how that can be humorous and lighthearted.
I think that's what struck me when
charming.
I was
charming.
That's what struck me when I was looking at some of the videos, was how humorous so many of them were, and how you described it, very lighthearted. The music was charming. The interaction between the dancers was it was just. There was a lightness, very playful. Yes, it was very playful. And, you know, I think what you're describing is fascinating, but it adds a weight to it that really belies what you actually see and your participation in that playfulness. So
I think each of us as artists are really interested in those layers and the really serious issues that are out there, and how do you make something that doesn't make someone feel bad when they leave? So I think that we're making work that deals with serious issues that we go through personally and as a society, but we're wanting our audience to leave feeling good. And I think I've seen a lot of performances that make me feel a little bad. Mm. And I guess, at least for me, I feel like our show is special because we really appreciate our audience and we're dealing with really serious issues in a very lighthearted, playful,
very clever way.
Clever way. Yeah.
And about you, Emily, what's yours?
I tend to start with a visual image more so, and I love working with fabric and making costumes. So I think a lot of my dances bridge this line between sculpture and using people in the space to make that a moving sculpture. I also like working a lot with patterns in the movement. That's really interesting to me. And humor as well. So if I could give a quick description of the pieces, one has, and connections between people. So one has a head, people's head are covered in fabric, and it tapers, it goes from the head and it flows out to a 7-foot staff, and is kind of like this very striking image at first, which through that construction I love to create. I love constricting myself and then seeing where that takes me. And the other one is called Airing Out Your Laundry. Mm-hmm. And it's a piece that is every 6 performers are connected side by side like they were standing in just single articles of clothing, like on a laundry line. And they're, the funny part of the costume is you can move that article up and down your body, and they're like trying to struggle to like cover themselves, but the other person has a shirt and the person next to them has boxers, and they're kind of like bringing it down. And it's kind of like, it is about airing out your laundry. It's kind of this play on words as well as mm-hmm. play on relationships and using the costume to dictate a lot of the movement. And I think that's what excites me.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw that one. That was quite amusing. Well, and, you know, I guess we didn't talk, Philip, you were talking about using sculpture and some of your artistic talents. You, Crystal, were in theater. Do you find that informs your pieces?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I, in contemporary performance art, use a lot of text. So, actually, I was a criminal justice when I first started out, and mm-hmm. I studied theater throughout it, and that, like, took over my life. So, like, the last 2 years, I actually got, you know, the anthology books. So I love theater and I love dance, and just in the contemporary world now, they're combining the two. So mm-hmm. stretching that line of what is performance and, you know, what stories can we tell with our bodies. Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure some people are wondering, okay, criminal justice, does that find its way into some of your dances?
I hope not.
Yeah. It's in the background somewhere. And Ginny, what did you study in art? What were you, sculpture, paint?
I was studying metal casting, and so I was able to cast bronze, iron, steel, aluminum, but I also was working with clay and ceramics. And I guess my influence from Emily and Laura and a lot of the other dancers really struck my interest in performance. And so I moved away from firing clay, like pots and bowls, to just taking raw clay and moving it around a space that I made, and working in a more ephemeral way and figuring out what it is to make things to me, and not having the burden of making things that are permanent, but dealing with that kind of moment that is always happening. So I just like, I don't know, the art of awareness.
It's a lovely description of it. If you're just tuning in, my guests are Crystal Redding, Jenny Hillenbrand, and Emily Smith. They are 3 of the 6 dancers who are in the 6 and 4 Articulations Project, all graduates of Alfred University in New York, on their tour around the country, and they're stopping in Lafayette to do a performance this evening, 7:30 at the Ballet Academy, that is downtown Lafayette, near Sanssouci Park. And there's a donation requested at the door, but you don't have to buy tickets ahead of time. And I believe that donation helps in your tour. All the expenses, I'm sure, carrying all those costumes and props and everything that you have to. And I know we didn't get much of a chance to talk about the music, but I was very impressed by the music when I was on those sites. It was very appropriate, very different. It was really lovely. Do you, do you work with certain composers, or you just have wide interests in music?
I think both, actually. Several of those pieces are original compositions by other Alfred students who we have, especially Laura Smith. She's teamed up with someone named Will Henry, and he did a lot of her compositional work. And it, they kind of like had a meeting at the beginning. They pool ideas. She gives him certain things that she wants in the music, and then she just says, go for it, you know, and he brings back the product, and they go from there, and usually it works out pretty, it works out amazingly well, considering
student stuff.
Yeah.
And student life.
Considering student life. And then for my pieces, I also really have a strong interest in music, and do a lot of like research on my own about different musicians, and kind of like I like collecting, you know, different people. And so I kind of, I think music is a strong element of my love of dance, and as well as my pieces, and they finish them. They definitely bring them to the next level, in my opinion. And so I kind of, over time, like, I'll hear a piece of music and I'll be like, that's it. That's what I'm going to make my piece to. And I kind of play with that moment. So,
And how do you find music? What's your process?
Originally for one of the pieces, I had a student who was self-taught play piano, and he had reconformed a song. I was unfortunately unable to get a recording of the music that he played for the piece before I switched the performers. And now I'm using L. Fitzgerald for one of my pieces, and I'm using a band called Fortet for the other one. I've never really had a strong interest in music. I don't even listen to it when I'm
so that's not the main
in
focus
the car.
Of your pieces.
Yeah, and so I think, unlike a lot of people, I'm not I just don't have the attention for it.
Yeah,
I'm more drawn to the visuals and the talking and movement.
That's an interesting component of dance.
It is.
And Crystal?
I love music. When I studied in Alfred for the dance program, it got a little bit difficult to, like, I wasn't like Emily. I didn't, like, find a song and, like, oh, I love that, and, like, actually, like, work with my pieces. So I'm a singer myself, and if I can't find any instrumental inspiration, I look for like voices or like actual songs and harmony. Yeah. So.
Well, I hope people have an opportunity, first of all, to go tonight. But if they absolutely can't, to look up some of these pieces on the web. And if they didn't get a chance to write it down before, what are the two sites where they can find some of your pieces?
We have a Cargo Collective site, which is our website. And that's cargocollective.com/6and4tour. And then we also have a Tumblr, which is www.tumblr.com/6and4tour. And they can find it through Google,
six and four tour.
Articulations.
Is that better to say 6and4tour or 6and4articulations?
Either one will get you there.
All right. Well, let's take a look for that and see what they've been talking about. Again, they are 6and4articulations Project. My guests, Crystal Redding, Jenny Hildenbrand, and Emily Smith are three of the six dancers. They will be at the Ballet Academy tonight with a performance 7:30. Sure, they look forward to seeing people here. And y'all been having a great time in Lafayette?
Yes.
Yeah.
We can't wait to come back.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Thank you all for coming today.
Thank you so much.
And now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. And the play, The Glass Mendacity, continues at Cité des Arts this weekend, Friday and Saturday evenings at 7:30. And on Sunday, you can see it as well. For more information or tickets, you can contact Cité des Arts or get tickets at the door. In McNeese, in Lake Charles at McNeese tomorrow evening, they will have a guest artist recital featuring pianist Gilbert de Grieve, 7:30 in the Sherman Fine Arts Center. There will be a mental health services public forum at the South Regional Library in Lafayette, 9:30 to noon on Saturday. For more information, you can call the South Regional Branch. A new film series, the Kane Fire Film Series, will show its first film this Saturday at the Light Center. The film is Surviving Progress by Matt.